name is Easy.
Hey.
First thing first, right, I just want to thank God, because I know today, like, it's only through His grace and His mercy that I'm clean, right? I got the butterflies, like I always get. I don't know if it's a nervousness anymore, because I ain't scared of y'all. Right? You need to know that, right? You know, before we even go to the topic, I just need to, like, clear some things up, because I hate to share with, like, stuff on my head, you know, about unresolved issues. And, like, some of the issues I have today is with the convention. I'd like to thank Eric, right, for his humility, because, like, I wasn't supposed to do this meeting right here. I was supposed to do a meeting 9 a.m. this morning, right? It was things I used to do to, like, speak at a convention. Let me just break something down to you, right? I'm from New York, right? 5 hours to get here, right? 2 nights stay at the hotel, $100-something a night, right? Registration and food. So every time I do one of these joints, we're talking $300-$400. Every time. All right? So, like, people invite you to come places. They don't consider that, right? So they invited me to come here. I had a conversation with the lady on the phone, and my understanding was that the meet was going to be at 9 p.m., right? Because it was things I used to do in early recovery, like don't pay the bills and, like, come to the convention on Friday, you know, take off Friday and shit like that, to have to go back home to the bills, right? So it's like some things, like, I don't do no more. So yesterday I had to work, right? So I worked all day, jumped in my car. We got here at 4 a.m., okay, now we're talking about, I get here and they say I need to share at 9 a.m. So I spoke to the people and, like, she was like, I just got to get this off my head. And it was like, you didn't share, you know, like, that's on you. You know, and I think that was kind of harsh to be invited somewhere and that's the way people treat you. You know, I really don't care whether I'm asked to come back, because I'm going to get mine off now. And I don't say that out of arrogance. I say that because I can't afford to, like, walk around, like, with a resentment and start acting all fucked up towards my family. I got my girl with me. I got my daughter with me. And I don't want to be walking, because it's a beautiful place to be walking around in a bad mood. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I need to just, like, free myself up from that so, like, we can get on with, like, the topic. And I think the topic was filling the void with a higher power. That's a good one. You know, that's a good one, especially for addicts, because we are people that don't want to feel nothing. All we want to feel is good all the time. You know, and before we get to that, right, I just need to, like, do some newcomer stuff, because a lot of times we forget to talk about the drugs. You know, the literature talked about don't dwell excessively, but I still believe, like, if people wasn't telling their story when I got here, like, I could have never had stayed. You know, if people wasn't talking about, like, them ass whippings, you know, I don't think I could have ever have identified. You know, I know some of y'all came up here in the middle of the road, you know, like with jobs and shit like that. That's what I call the middle of the road, you know, with drugs on the table, you know, and you decide, like, you don't want to use no more, you know. It wasn't like that for me, all right? I just need to know. So just identify with the pain and don't compare stories, right? Because I'm like the end of the road addict. When I looked up, everything was gone. See, what God had to do for me was, like, take everything out of my way just so, like, He could get my attention. You know, because as long as I had the material items, like, I stayed in, like, denial. So what I had to hit a bottom. You know, I ain't talking about a mental or a physical bottom. That happened years ago. I'm from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, New York. And if you know anything about Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, New York, the one thing that we could do, we had style. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, it don't matter, like, what I had on, I still had style. You understand what I'm saying? But, like, I'm walking around with somebody else's clothes on, but, like, I'm walking like I'm cool. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, the mental and the physical ass whipping, it really didn't mean nothing to me. So I had to hit what they call up in here. I didn't know what it was at that time, but they called it a spiritual void, a spiritual bottom. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and I remember, like, hitting this bottom at the end of the run. You know, I'm talking about, like, when everything was gone, when you had done sold the TV and, like, you sitting there watching the radiator. You understand what I'm saying? You know, yeah. Yeah. See, yeah. Because I remember like coming here and y'all sending me the welfare, and you know, when I did the welfare thing, and you know, we spend the money, sell the food stamps, take the food back to the store, that type of thing. You know, I did that, right? And like this time is Christmas Eve. And like that morning I had got one of them welfare checks, and I was with one of them NA girls at this time. You know, because I had been here, y'all had one, so I was going to get me one. You know, and like, I don't know your story. My story was sleeping on trains and shelter systems. You know, she had Section 8 rent. And if you know anything about Section 8 rent, rent was going to be about $60 a month. So this was like a perfect opportunity to get out of the shelter. You understand what I'm saying? So I remember like moving in with this person, her not being ready for this program. Matter of fact, me not being ready either, because I did that like don't use and go shopping thing. You know, I wasn't like really like paying attention what was going on, because I told you I came in here with somebody else's clothes on. And see, we tell new people all the time that like it's an inside job, it's an inside job. But when you come in here with like somebody else's clothes on, like I don't think it's an inside job at this time. So, like, my primary purpose at that time was, like, to get out of the shelter and to get me some stuff. Because I don't know about y'all. I lost all my stuff, and I wanted my stuff back. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so, like, yeah, I lost all my shit. When I looked up, man, I ain't had, it's a shame when you wake up, you 30, and you ain't got nothing. So I understand what the pain, we're talking about the pain now. Before you get to the void, you got to feel the pain. You understand what I'm saying? Something happens like when you get clean, right? And like you look up and you ain't got nothing. Homeless. Eating at shelters. And you trying to do this clean shit. Y'all telling me it's an inside job. And I got somebody else's sneakers on. You know. So I had to get busy, man. And what I got busy on was material things. I got real, real busy on material things. Not paying attention. You know, not understanding this disease yet, not even knowing that I had a disease. I still think at this time that crack was the problem. Because a lot of us think get this thing real, real twisted up and we don't even know what active addiction really is. See, we still think it's smoking crack, shooting dope, or like drinking wine. See, active addiction is living an unprincipled life on a daily basis. You know, that's what active addiction is. So maybe like on your way home tonight, you might want to ask yourself, you know, like, am I active? Yeah, because like if you're doing things like lying every day, cheating, stealing, like doing all these things on a regular basis, you need to ask yourself on the way home, like, am I active? So I remember like getting here with like nothing, man, and like doing this material thing, man, and working on getting me some stuff, man, you know. So I didn't use, and I went shopping, and I went to the dance, and I used to dress up just to go to a meeting. You know, it was real important for me to get fly to come to a meeting. I can put on some shit now. I really don't care how y'all perceive me today, you know, because I'm comfortable. But at that time, I wasn't comfortable because I came in here and everybody was looking like I used to look in 1975. Yeah, I wasn't fucked up in 1975. You know? And I came in here, everybody was clean, smiling, haircuts, you know, jewelry, girls, cars and shit. I said, damn, I want some of this. And that was my primary purpose, and I sat out to get it. So like my first 2 years in this program, all I did was like, you know, I got me a job and I started acquiring material stuff. You know, and something about like when you put something down, it's a pain that comes. You know, we're talking about first step stuff, right? I ain't talking about the drugs no more. I'm talking about when you put something down, it's a pain that comes. And it's a hole that comes like behind that. We're talking about the void thing. Now I'm going to get like right into the topic. All right? They talk about most of us skip over this step with a minimum of concern. And then I didn't even read that part in the literature. We talked about you'll find yourself obsessing and compulsing over things you never had a problem with until you put the drugs down. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, I put the drugs down, right, and I find myself being passed around the rooms of Narcotic Anonymous. You know, I thought I was pulling something. See, I don't know what y'all are, but I'm a recovering hoe. All right? Because, see, all my life I had one girl until I came into the rooms of Narcotic Anonymous and I felt that hole. Because, see, when you feel that hole, like, you don't want to feel that hole. So, like, one thing I learned about that hole is the best way to get up outside that hole is cheating. Y'all getting kind of quiet now, huh? Yeah. We're gonna get right to it, all right? So I told you about this NA girl I had, right? And, see, one of the things you can't use for such a long time to try to create a feeling, get clean and think that you don't want to feel that feeling no more. So we get clean. But we still want to feel that feeling. So now, what can I do to create that feeling without the use of a chemical? Yeah, y'all in it now, huh? So, first time I went outside my relationship, right, I felt it. The same rush. The same high. The same cleanup story before you even do it. You know how you be getting ready to do something and you got to think about the cleanup story before you even do it? So like all this stuff is like going, we clean now. We ain't smoking no more. We clean now, but we still want to feel that feeling. We don't want to fill that hole, so we want to fill that hole with like stuff on the outside of us, only to come to find out that the stuff on the outside of us ain't never going to work. But see, I'm new in recovery, and I'm listening, but I you only get this through experience. See, I don't know your story. You're going to have to do it till it hurt. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to have, I don't care what it is you're doing, but you're going to have to do it till it hurt. Because, see, you can have, like, all this information in your head and still think that this shit don't work. I'm still going to try my way. So I allowed y'all to pass me from girl to girl to girl. For years, thinking I'm doing something. Pimping in recovery. Tricking in recovery. You know, that's all that's like really going on here. Not wanting to feel in recovery. Not wanting to recover in recovery. See, once you get the information, it's stuck. See, because like once you know, you can't go back to like not knowing. See, sometimes I wish I don't know some of the shit that I know today. Because they told me like when I got here that this program was like gonna fuck up my high. And see, now you ain't used chemicals in a while, but I told you we still wanna feel that high. So now them things you picking up, you know they don't work, but you pick them up anyway. And it hurts. After having the information, after having 12-step experience, sponsees, a bunch of books. Done did a lot of paperwork, done handed it in to your sponsor. Hey, here's the third step, sponsor. No, for real, like you ain't, because see, one thing you have to understand, just because you wrote a step don't mean you practicing the principle. Right? So I did a lot of paperwork. And as I kept coming back, I started getting in touch with the proper work. And the proper work for me was going to start learning to live these principles in my life. And it takes time, man. It didn't, like, come overnight. I hit a lot of bottoms in here, man. This is my favorite day now. 1993, this is my story. You heard it before. I don't got no new story, and I ain't changing it. All right? You know? 1993, Valentine's Day. I'm about coming up, and I'm a little over 2 years clean, right? And I go home, you know, to bring the Valentine thing to my N.A. girl at that time. And, like, when I opened the door, like, one of them network people was in there with her. Y'all don't know what a network is? Oh, let me explain it then. When you first come around, they say get you a network of people who you can share your secrets with, who can support you and guide you through this program. You know, so I got some of them guys around me. And like one of them network guys chose, because at that time I had started living foul, and he chose to use the information that I had gave him to tell her to go in and do what they need to do. I got the videotape. Yeah. I got the videotape like right here. But see, it's going to come a time when it's just going to be like you and the disease. And like if you haven't done the proper work, I don't believe you can stay. Because the one thing about this program, it's going to weed out the boys and girls. They're going to get high. Because if you listen to the literature, it says a program of men and women. It don't say nothing about boys and girls. It says a program for men and women. So the one thing I learned, like you got to grow up in here. And literature tell us we got to grow or go. So I had to keep coming back, man. I had to stop doing some things, man. Some things about this program, you just got to stop. Because see, slowing down ain't going to get it. I only smoke a little bit of crack now. Nah. You know, like slowing down is not going to get it. And some of the things I had to do, I had to learn how to stop, man. I learned how to stop putting these physical things in the place of God. See, I want to put all this stuff in here, and I'm talking about temporary solutions to like a long-term problem. Cause like this hole ain't gonna like never go nowhere, and like it's never gonna be filled as long as I continue to try to fill it with like physical stuff. So one of the things I had to start doing, I had to learn how to start practicing principles in my life. Because see, one thing about this program, we want to guide people. We want to carry them through the steps and like all this other shit, right? And like, but how you living? See, sponsees, they watch how you live. Not so much y'all sit down and do these step work together. You know, you carry a person through the steps, but you still living foul. It's like, what message did you really carrying? So one of the things I had to start doing, I had to stop. I had to stop fucking with y'all. I had to hug y'all from a distance now. I had to learn how to get committed in a relationship. That's the things I'm practicing today. That's how the hole is filling up. Because I'm starting to practice principles in my life. I'm starting to be the person I am that I share. I'm starting to be that person. Because I shared all over the world. It wasn't for y'all. It was to try to snatch something up out of here. That's why I used to share. I wanted one of you girls to say, you go, boy. That was my sole purpose for sharing. Because in the beginning, you'd be sharing because you enjoy carrying a message. And then you'd be sharing and you found out that people are attracted to you because you carry this message. So now you're just carrying a message to try to attract something. But now you get in a committed relationship and you ain't trying to attract nothing no more. What message are you going to carry now? I ain't trying to attract nothing. Digga my girl right there. I see some of y'all looking at me like I'm a Happy Meal. And because I got to just go somewhere, right? And I just got to go there, right? Because a lot of time we talk about like, look for the example. Y'all tell me this shit. Look for the example. Look for the example. Look for the example. When you get here, every fucking body is an example. But as you keep coming, more will be revealed. And as you start practicing principles in your life and this voice starts to fill up a little bit more and you find out like you don't want to be that same slimy guy no more, you don't want to keep doing the same old things no more, guess what? The road get a little bit smaller. Ain't so many examples of like what I want to be like no more. And then, yeah, I'm talking about the men. Y'all can see me after the meeting. I got to tell the truth every time I come. Because if, you know, ain't no use of me coming. There's not a lot of men in this program that, like, don't cheat. I'm talking about my story and the people I know. All right? Yeah, y'all quiet and motherfucker now, huh? And I just haven't met a lot of men that, like, don't go outside of their relationship. I can count them. And I know hundreds of people. But the ones that are true, I could count them. I could count them. So what I'm learning is, like, if you can't find an example, you might have to be the example. And don't get, I mean, man, listen, like, I ain't no saint, man. You understand what I'm saying? I told you my story. I done did a whole lot of fucking up, man. But one of my things I always talk about is look what God bought me with no cooperation. Just imagine if I cooperate. Because today my life is blessed, man. Today my life is better than good. I got it so good today, I be scared. I'm going to just get arrested for feeling good. Yeah, because like ain't nothing going on, man. So smooth, man. It's all in place now. All I got to do is just stay in the pocket. But see, I'm a person that don't want to feel, man. I want to, when shit gets smooth, I want to create something, man. I want to hug one of y'all a little bit long because I caught up in the zeal of what if only and just one more time. Yeah, because see, I don't know about y'all. I did some work, man. One of the things I'm addicted to is secrecy. I learned, man. I done learned some shit about Easy. I learned why I was doing it. It ain't had nothing to do with the individual. I might not even have liked you at the time. I just liked it the fact that me and you was the only one that knew. And that was my hit for that day. When I first stole that little spinner that used to make the cake batter, And I dipped on that, and moms didn't catch me. That was the first time I got over. See, I'm addicted to getting over. I'm addicted. If I can just get over, man, and what I'm learning, man, it ain't so much of my fight ain't with y'all no more. It's with me. That my whole fight is with me today, man. To try to become this better person, man. To try to like learn to fill this hole with like spiritual principles. It's hard. It's easy to practice spiritual principles when y'all looking. That's the easiest thing. I'm a great recovering addict in a meeting. It's like when I go to the big meeting, you know, with the boss, with the kids, and everybody get an opportunity to share. That's the meeting that I want to be the person that I say I am in here. I want, my girl, they be bugged out because I don't argue. I don't argue at all. I learned something about me. If I argue, somebody getting ready to get hit. I learned that. Because I don't got no middle ground. If we argue, it's time to fight. So I don't argue at all. So I didn't want to be with people that where I had to go home and be all fucked up at home. One of the things I learned about the things that I was doing, it wasn't the fact that I was chasing women. That wasn't my problem. My problem was at home. Because I wasn't happy at home, so I was going outside of my home on any given occasion, man, to try to fill up this hole inside of me. And what I had to come to understand is every time I looked for a woman to fill this hole up, that she came up short. Because I was putting the wrong things in the place of God and these spiritual principles. A woman ain't going to never be able to fill up this hole I got in me. This hole is like big as this room. And it'll never be filled. But I keep coming back. I keep practicing principle. I keep praying. I keep reaching out to the new person. Because a lot of times we be so caught up in trying to pull something, we forget about the new people. That's where I'm at today. I'm back to the new guy. The guy that smell. That's where I'm at now. I'm back to the guy that smell. I'm back to the guy whose shoes run over a little bit. I'm back to the guy who ain't got coffee money. That's where I'm at now, man. Because, like, I done got around a lot of people, and we done got locked into this money, property, and prestige type thing because things got better. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget where I come from. I come from a rough place, man. I was a bum when I got here. Ain't nothing glamorous about my story. Little stem, some matches, and no crack. You know, yeah. Ain't nothing glamorous about using, man. I'm so happy to be here. I ain't gonna go on and on. I'm gonna wind it up because I ain't got no lot. You know, I ain't got no lot. You know, I feel good. You know, I think I did pretty good with the topic, man. You know, I hope some of y'all could get some hope, man. You know, because a lot of time, man, we be here for years and years and years and be all fucked up. Because we don't want to adhere to the principles of the program. You ain't got to be fucked up in drama-filled life all the time. Clean. Your life ain't got to be like that, man. Be sharing at every meeting. Got your hand up all the time. It ain't got to be like that. You know? It ain't got to be like that, man. You can live a serene, peaceful, successful life in here, man. Now I want to talk about the successes, like, before I shut down. Because I told you, like, I was a bum when I got here, man. You know, and, like, I kept coming back, and I heard y'all going to school. You know, and I did plumbing for like 25 years, right? And I was selling papers when I came around. And one of the guys said, "Damn, you did plumbing for 25 years. You might be a plumber." That's how much of a fog I was in at that time because I couldn't figure it out. I needed one of y'all to like tell me that. You know, so I took a risk, and, like, I went back to school, man, and I started to learn some stuff, right? And I took a test to become a master plumber in the state of New York, and I passed. Yeah. And on May 11, I opened my own corporation. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, it's a good feeling when you write your name down, and next to your name, you put president. That shit blew me the fuck away. I don't know what it do for y'all. And I just share that for the hope, man, for the person that don't believe, man. For the person that, because they told me to apply myself just I did, like I did when I was using. I can move some shit, man. I told you I wasn't always fucked up. I used to have me 3 or 4 workers, you know, and I used to know how to, yeah, I wasn't always fucked up. So I already know how to, like, run some shit. You understand what I'm saying? So now I just got to apply that shit in a more positive way, man. And, like things is taking off for me, man. You know, I'm taking risks, man. I bought a truck, what, the other day? I don't even know how the fuck I'm going to pay for it. But I bought it, you know, because I believe. I believe. You know, because like one thing I've learned, like if you ain't got a vision, you might be going back. Yeah, you might be going back. Because after you come up out of the 12 step, it talk about purpose and direction in my life. That's what the 12 steps say. Today I got purpose and direction in my life. I know, like if I stay on this road, where I'll be 10 years from now. I know. That's the, you know, ain't no more coming to believe for me. I know where I'll be 10 years from now. If I, if God willing, if I don't die, I'll be richer than a motherfucker. Yeah, I'm going to get me some money, man. I'm not with all that, I work 25 years for somebody and they give me a watch. That shit don't impress me. I'm sorry. People be telling me, yeah, I've been at my job 30 years and still broke. You know, nah, that shit don't impress me, man. You know, it's about you can have everything in here, man. You can have whatever your heart desire, man. We're in a place where lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise, man. You understand what I'm saying? Anything can happen for you in here, man. If you new, welcome, man. You know, if this your first convention, man, like, keep coming back, man. I have a ball at these things, man. I meet new people, man. I know people from, like, Boston to, oh, shit, I was in the Bahamas. To the Bahamas. You understand what I'm saying? I done met people like all over the place, man. And everywhere I go, people know me. That's a good feeling. I might not know them, but, you know, they know who I am. And I don't say that out of no disrespect. I just meet so many people. Sometimes it's hard to, like, really remember, like where I met you and your name and, like, all of that. So if you're new, welcome, man. You know, 90 meetings in 90 days. That is so important. I don't know why it's 90 meetings in 90 days. You know, don't try and figure that shit out, right? Because I know if you knew, you'd be like, why 90, man? You know, why can't I just do 65 or something? You know? But it's something about 90 minutes and 90 days, right? During that process, you wake up with $5. I don't know what the miracle was for you. That was the miracle for me. Woke up with $5. I said, oh, shit, it's on now. Yeah, because if I had $5, I was not going to sleep. That was another one. That was another one. And I kept coming back, man, obsessing and compulsion to use drugs lifted. And one thing I knew, y'all didn't do that. So that's when I started to get the belief in God. I knew he had did something for me that I could not do for myself. So you want to fill that void? Just keep coming back, man. You know, keep trying to practice the principle. We ain't going to get this thing perfect. You're gonna fuck up. Everybody in here gonna fuck up. That's what I like about this program. Everybody in here gonna fuck up. You know? Ain't no dignitaries in here, man. I thank God for that. Because sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we make the same mistake over and over and over again. And be so scared and ashamed to, like, come back to the group and share it. This disease dying a lot of exposure and growing in the dark. They be telling you shit like, don't even share that in the meeting. You went back to her again, you bet, nah, man. Don't even let them know. You know? And it keep you sick. It'll keep you locked and loaded on drama and sickness, man, when you ain't got to be there. You could be. This program talk about being happy, joyous, and free. And one of the things I learned is that happiness is a decision that you're going to have to make for yourself. You can't keep putting it on the car. You can't put it on the job. You can't put it on the women. Because all of them things, you're going to fall short. See, a lot of us base our recovery based on the materialistic things that we acquire. And what happens when you lose the materialistic things? Where's your recovery? So my recovery is not based on materialistic things. It's based on spiritual principles. It's based on the growth. It's based on my ability to handle situations that used to baffle my ass. I'm able to deal with some situations today where I used to run. Today I stand still and deal. In this program, we teach you how to cope and not cop. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, for our next speaker, I give you Hadia.
Name Hadia. Praise God. It's truly, truly by God's grace that I stand here clean today. And as I'm looking at it, y'all looking mighty beautiful. mighty fine up in here. Some folks have had a little void, it seems. And I'm looking in here and saying this must have been filled, because we're filling up in here. I was asked a while ago to share on this topic. And let me tell you how good God is in my life. I couldn't sleep the first three nights. I was preparing early. That was a month ago. I know a little something about me and staying here that my number is 3. And that's generally about the time that I'll surrender and really allow God to do what he needs to do. So I continue to just go on with life. And you know what's happened in the last week? I have had more evidences of God than I could have envisioned a month ago. So to keep it real, on Monday, I live in Richmond, Virginia now, but I got clean in Washington, D.C. Praise God for Trust Clinic. Yeah. A sponsee and I were driving, and she looked up. There was a truck next to us. She said, "Do you know that sister?" I'm like, "I ain't from Richmond. I don't know nobody here." She looked again, so I told her, I said, "Well, stop at the next light." She stopped at the next light, and I looked up. And what I saw was a sister that I'd seen in the rooms in Richmond. She didn't see me. She couldn't see me. She was here. Beautiful sister. Wears the finest of clothes. She was here. At that moment, I felt empathy for her, but in the next moment, I saw me. Because I was always Mr. Girl on the duty, wear the silks and Abercrombie stockings and so forth, but it was nothing like, my brother said he's from New York. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. Instead of going to school, we went to Prince Street Projects and started with a little old English, so I'm just kind of going back. But I spent most of my time on 116th and Morningside. On the corner, my blue silk dress. And I went to school. Huh? That's what my life had become. I don't know where your bottom is. But y'all told me that I needed to know where mine was. And what I know is when I think about void, filling a void, the first time I heard the word void, y'all told me it was in a step meeting. Thank God for sponsors. After 60 days clean, my sponsor said, "You are not to be in any open discussion meetings. If I'm to see you, you better be in step meetings." And I heard the word void in there. But we start learning about these principles long before we work them or actively work them in our lives. And what I got in touch with, and seeing the sister, because see, I can't shake it because that is me. I used for 14 years. So obviously that tells y'all I was not on crack. I thank God that my bottom was when it was, and I got hit just pre-crack. Think I had 3 experiences with it, and it was enough to tell me, hear me, a dope fiend talking about cocaine, the story over. The story is over. Right? But that's what my life had become. Right? And oftentimes what I know is that I don't know. Because if I knew, I wouldn't have done all the things that I did. I wasn't raised like that. I was raised in my mother's womb. That's some water. Let me tell you what happened today. Because I'm talking about fresh things that are happening that are allowing me to see God, understanding what a void is in my own life, and knowing how I could fill it. Because you all already told me. You gave me some things. I was awakened this morning by some beautiful women, some sponsees here. If we went to that sunrise meeting, 6 o'clock, picture that. Picture that, waking up 6 o'clock in the morning, going sitting on the beach, talking about some recovery. Huh? And after that, Spirit said, do what you got to do. And me and these sisters stayed down there. And if you don't know God, you might hear him sometimes. And what I want you to know is when you hear it, know that that's the sound that you're supposed to get. I heard God on the ocean. The sun didn't come up as bright as it normally would, but when it does, if you know, if you've ever seen a sunrise, you can't look at it directly for the entire time. You have got to flinch a moment because the light is too bright. Bright light. That's that moment of humility that I can get in touch with, because that's how great God is. Right? Now, when I got here, y'all said that God could be good orderly direction. Well, that would work good for somebody that has some. I didn't have any good orderly direction in my life. Right? The end of my story is in Van Nuys, California. I mean, like right down the street from World Service Office. I didn't even know they were there. I lived on a dead-end street on top of a hut, basically, between my husband and I, made up $100,000, and I lived in a hut, one bedroom, a few pillows, a borrowed kitchen table, a dog named Killer. He was a punk. And I would begin, y'all, to get high in the kitchen. I'd take that hit. It'd say, run in that bathroom, girl, and jump up in that sink. And I'd do that. I was much smaller then, so I fit the sink. And I would stay up in there, y'all, and I would pick my face, and I would pick my face. I would pick my face, and I would pick my face. Something would say, go take another hit. And I'd go, Killer would follow, and looking at me like this. I'm talking to the dog, like, what's wrong? What's up with you? You crazy? He was following me, looking like this. And I'd go to the front window, and I'd say, I'm not going to take another hit, until a car came down the street. I lived on a dead-end street. Most folks was respectable in my neighborhood except me, and I didn't get started till like 1 o'clock in the morning, right? So, needless to say, no one ever made it to the end of the street, but I always made it back in the kitchen. And I mean, long after the stuff was gone, I'd just crawl on the floor and find what I left there last month. So this is where my life had become. And I get here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous by grace. I started in Baltimore, and the most amazing thing is this week, they had an episode of The Corner on. I've never watched that. Right? A few weeks ago, I watched New Jack City 3 days in a row, and I wondered why I was thinking about using But I flipped and The Corner came on. And let me tell you, I saw me again. And I'm talking about the purpose of identification. Because it is important. Because that's not who I am today. Okay? And I saw a sister hitting people in the neck. And I remembered, I said, I never shoot no dope. And I got to California, and they only had the kind of dope, I guess, that you could shoot. Couldn't find no dope to sniff out there. So I held my hand out and said, do what you got to do to somebody I ain't even know. So I'm talking about the risk that I've taken with my life. And I come in here and I will not take the risk to really find life so that I can live a more prosperous life. Because fear runs deep inside of me. But what I forget is, in the second step, it says that this power has been working long before we even knew it was there. So if I could just but get honest with myself and think about the times that I went to COP in New York with my silks and stuff on, and as soon as I came out the house, they raided the house. I called it luck. Or when I was in California and a sister was laid out, I don't know what she was, if she was dead or not dead, I stepped over her to go get my dope. I came back out the house. I stepped over her again. to leave. I didn't call 911. I didn't do anything responsible. I wanted to get my hit on. It's called grace. That which I don't deserve. And you guys set me up so perfectly because you told me I had to find a God that was loving and caring. And unlike you people, I said, not judgmental. And what I know about this God is that he does love me. Why? Because I am like scum of life. When I got here, a void implies that something is empty in me. Y'all, I was empty. I had nothing. I didn't feel anything. And it didn't matter that I thought I looked good. Looks was not with me early in the mornings when I was aching inside. So some things have happened to me since I've been here that allow me to know that if I have enough faith, y'all told me all I needed was a mustard seed. That I would be all right, that I didn't have to be afraid. And what happened for me, the relapse wasn't the jarring experience that made me grow. It was my father coming into my life and passing on in transition with cancer. I saw the faith that he had. But prior to that, I had a sponsor that said, I believe in you. And I really did believe that she believed, and it got me through enough. But there were times when she wasn't there that she couldn't get me through some of the things that I went through in recovery. The tricking, clean, where I had to get to a point of feeling so ashamed and tired of my own self. And I'm talking about, yeah, just living clean, talking clean, really, and just doing all kinds of crazy things. There comes a time when one must face up to themselves. And I've had that time. Right? So when my father came in my life, what I found out about death is that it's a transition. What I found out about me is that I've already been in transition and recovery. I am not the bum that was on 116th and Morningside today. Because I have some principles, getting honest with myself about who I am, the things that I've done, and then I don't have to justify to you who I am any longer. Being open enough to receive some information from you all, basically listening to you share whatever it is that you're going through, because it'll help me at some time in what I'm going through. So as I held on to this man and he passed in my arms, he gave me his last breath, another breath of life. What I know is I've died many deaths right here in Narcotics Anonymous. But y'all said, sister, hold on. Because I need to see these evidences. Because then I'll trust the power a little more. The brother said it in the step and says, if we pass over this step with a minimum of concern, we'll find that the rest won't even work. They won't even work until I get an understanding of how powerful the second step is. We say the first three are the foundation of our recovery. Y'all told me when I got here, I can, he can, let him. Well, that was easier said than done when things start happening in your life. But when you can take an honest look, man, I'm talking about when I had to look back and see really where I come from, just how bad I had gotten and how hopeless I felt inside of my own self. Mama didn't make me do it. I did it because I was looking to feel something else. Today I want to be free, and y'all say that freedom is in the steps. I can only keep this that I have by giving it away. And I have some new babies in my life. And I have a greater appreciation for my sponsors, because I've had two since I've been here. Because I understand that they were so nurturing and so loving. They held on to me when the man left. They fed me. They ran bath water. Said, girl, don't do no dope. You're going to be all right. That I've got to give that back. Because if I can do it, you can do it. So check this out. Bum, right? Got a good job. Always had a good job. A few years ago, God said, leave your job. I'm telling you, when you hear a voice, you ain't doing no dope. You better address it. So I went to my sponsor, because my sponsor is also my spiritual advisor. I don't need two and three. We are of spirit in here. And when I said God said, she said, well, why are you calling me? I said, oh. So how am I supposed to do that? She said, well, what God tell you to do? And I ain't know, but I knew what to do, so I prayed. Now let me tell you what's happened. There have been times, I'm self-employed today. The brother was talking about putting the president, I don't have that kind of title. I just work for myself and I sell stuff. I ain't selling ass today, but I sell anything else. Except no shorts, because I'm in sales. Right? But let me tell you something. This is current stuff. Within the last 3 years of my life, my recovery, I moved from D.C. to Richmond and bought a home with my mother. Or actually, I should say my mother bought a home to get me out of a relationship that I was in with a female at the time. So she figured she'd give me something, which always worked. Mm-hmm. I'll go for it. I resisted and stayed up in D.C. as long as I could and finally made the transition, the change, and accepted that I was going to Richmond. And in this home, what has happened is there have been times that I didn't have any food. I'm self-employed, hear me. I didn't have any money. But what I did have was faith and trust in the process. And what is that? I know that it's more. There's a difference between belief and faith. Faith is knowing that it's going to be all right, and you just have not figured out how it's going to happen, but you know it's going to be all right, right? You have to hold on sometime. Y'all told me if you got to swing with the chandelier, do whatever you have to do, just don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens, right? And I had a young lady that mentioned and said to me, she said, well, maybe God's telling you you need to get a job. Now, I recall saying, I heard a God tell you that I need to get a job. Now, hear me. This was very important because she was a very important person in my life. And if she would have told me that God said, how do you need to get a job? How do you would have got a job? What my sponsor said is, do you believe that you could do this? And I told her, yeah, but ain't nothing happening. I ain't getting no money. She said, hold on to your faith. So I held on. Let me tell you what happened. I sent a fax off, huh? For a quote for like 10,000 pieces or something. What it meant was I made about like $985, $2 more than my mortgage was. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The mortgage was due in a couple days, huh? Just enough. But there was a time that all of that wouldn't have went for the mortgage. So God is more than met me at the level of my needs. But was I willing to give it all up? We got to give it all up in here. Got to give up all of me. Do all I can do and then move out the way and watch what God will do. And just giving up dope a day at a time, you have just entered into a new journey, a new path. My sister, it's already been laid out. You don't have to look or twinge or go anywhere else because you are here with us. This journey is awesome. So I keep seeking the power because he keeps showing up. So if you see light on people, go towards the light. Because it might just be your light. Don't think that you're still high and you clean when you see light or you hear something that you believe will work for you too. So this program has given me my life back, and I'm so grateful to be here. This is the first convention that I came to a little over 10 years ago, and let me tell you what I did. I walked around looking for the person that was getting high for the first 45 minutes. Someone told me, give up, baby. This is a new way of life. Enjoy yourself. The sister talked about it last night. This is about living a new life. I was dead when I got here. God has opened up some new doors in my life, and I'm just headed toward the light. And I want to thank y'all for being here today and allowing me to share. And I'll keep coming back.